Good evening, everyone. This is John Adolfi. Welcome to the October event. It's October 20th, 2015. It is 7 p.m., a little after 7 p.m. We're going to get started. Tonight, we're going to talk about how to hunt and find the real deals. Part one, obviously, is to get your financing in place, and we've talked about that in the past, but tonight we're going to talk about after you've got your financing in place, or as you're wondering what's out there, before even you get your financing in place, just to get you motorized, energized, or if you've got money in hand and you're ready to buy, you just want to find the right place, I'm going to show you where to look. I'm going to warn you, or at least educate you, on areas that you may look that aren't the best ways or best places to look for a bargain property. Okay? So we're going to start with places not to look. I'm going to start off with a negative right away. These are the places not to look for your bargain properties. Short sales. I have a new outlook on short sales that has been produced, manufactured, or developed, I should say, over the last few years. And the reason why I'm against short sales is because I have done so many of them and have experienced them both as the buyer's agent and as the seller's agent and as both the buyer and the seller's agent. They're maddening. Let me explain what a short sale is. Short sale is when Mr. and Mrs. Jones have to sell their house because of a financial situation, or they have to leave and they're in a bad financial situation. But it's not necessitating they have to leave because of the bad financial situation. They have to leave, maybe a job transfer or whatever. Let's say they owe $100,000 on their house and their house is only worth $75,000. They're underwater, as they call it in the media. How do you sell a house for $75,000 when you owe $100,000? Usually it's not that much, but it can be. How you do that is you're going to ask the bank for $25,000 in forgiveness. And the bank will either say yes or no. Now, why would the bank say yes? Number one, it costs $5,000 plus to do a foreclosure. Number two, it delays and there's no money coming in. And the taxes are building up. So it costs the bank money to foreclose. And the process can take 2, 3, 4 years. That's a lot of money to waste. Why else would they say yes to a short sale? They've already collected a ton of money on the interest already. They've made their money back and then some. So there's another incentive of why they won't say no. They do have parameters, though, and they sometimes don't want to go too far below what they'll have formulas like 82%, so they'll only go, 18% under. They'll do more than that sometimes, but there's sometimes some parameters that they have to work and then consider depending on what type of loan it is. Needless to say, it is not the best type of bargain property to try to find. Let me tell you one of the good things about short sales. If you put an offer in on a house and it takes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months to get some sort of response back, and say you find another property and you have an accepted contract from the seller, and it's now in the bank's hands waiting for approval or disapproval, the great thing is you can just call up the realtor. And I had to do this for a couple of clients. We don't want it anymore. We've moved on. We've got something else going on. Just like that. So there's no skin off your teeth doing this. It's just that as an investor, you're in a better position to do a short sale than a homeowner-occupant. Because homeowner-occupant usually got an agenda. You got timelines. With an investor, you can just kind of... But it's kind of a waste of time. Unless you really, really, really want the house like it was my grandmother's house or something. And I really want this house. It just so happens to be a short sale. That's another thing. But I'm not convinced with these anymore. I really am not. And I don't think the greatest deals result from the short sales. MLS. Why am I saying not to look in the MLS? Now, for those of you who are listening to this, who are looking for a home to live in, the MLS is the best source of properties for bargain, or not bargain property, but properties that you're going to want to look at to live in. But for investors who are looking for a great steal, a great deal, once it hits the MLS, it's a bum's rush if it's a great deal. It's hard to compete in a bum's rush. Do you know what I mean by a bum's rush? No, you don't know. You know what that state? I know. I've had somebody else say, "What's a bum's rush?" That's like when you got a bunch of bums who don't have a lot, and you throw something in the middle, and all of a sudden, all the bums rush at it, of value. You know, that's a bum's rush. That's what happens with these listings on the MLS if they're good. Otherwise, there's not a lot of great things on the MLS. Now, granted, there is at any time 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 properties for sale on the MLS in the residential. So out of those, there's going to be some bargains. There's going to be more than 3 or 4. But how do you find them? How do you find them in a sea? It's like finding a needle in a haystack. I prefer going to sources where you've got a better chance and systems already in place, which I'll explain in just a second. Craigslist. You can find a good deal on Craigslist. You can even find the home that you're going to be moving into on Craigslist. Other than the fraud that's going on in Craigslist, I don't know, is just a sea of just listings. Do you know, I use Craigslist to market my properties. I do. And do you know how much response I get from Craigslist? Like, hardly at all. Hardly at all. Depending on what it is. If it's a giveaway, I'll get several inquiries through Craigslist. If it's a pretty good deal, one, maybe none. And if it's an okay deal, it's just another piece of property out there for sale, let's say I'm selling it for someone, not a HUD home or whatever, I'll get one or none. You know? Let me tell you about the fraud that's going on Craigslist. I had a HUD house down on Montrose in the city of Syracuse, and they broke into it. We still don't know who they were. They broke into it, took photos, took our sign down, met people there on a Saturday, and took deposits to rent it. They did it over and over and over again. We couldn't catch them. Couldn't catch them. So what they're doing is they're taking properties, pulling the photos off of them, creating their own listing. Yeah, their own listing. I don't know if they've done it for house sales. Buyer beware. Craigslist. Who can you trust, right? What else is a good place not to look? All right, we'll leave it at that. Good place not to look. Now let's look at the places to look. HUD. Does that surprise you? I'm going to give you a website. For those of you who don't know where to find HUD homes, I'll give you the HUD government website. And this is in real time, meaning that when there's a change, it happens. It's also free. And put this in your URL, in your address bar. Don't Google this. You'll end up on some pay site that's trying to get you to join for a buck and then charge you $50 a month, okay? And it's www.hudhomestore.com. HudHomeStore.com. Why do I love HUDs? I love HUDs because they've got a system. Actually, they have a system of bidding, but we've created a system outside of that system in order to be able to take advantage of the way HUD does their bidding system. Now, this is not going to be a HUD boot camp. You can go on my website, adolfi.com, that's adolfi.com, and look for our events. You can just do that through the search box, and you'll find two recent HUD boot camps that we did, and they're hour-long presentations like this one, and you can listen to it. But let me just say this. With HUDs, you can get properties anywhere between 30 to 50% under the asking price. Typically, the asking price is overpriced 90% of the time. And the reason why is that the appraisers have to put a property price on it. They can't use other foreclosed properties as a means of gauging value. They have to use arm's length transactions. That means properties that people have purchased and sold through the system to strangers, basically, not to their loved ones. That's an arm's length transaction. They have to use those in order to come up with a value for the HUD. Now, I've had discussions with a couple of the appraisers, and I say, I understand your hands are tied. You have to use other You have to use other comparables out there, and that kind of raises the price a little bit higher than I feel you should have it on the market for, all things considered. He says, yes. I says, my only suggestion is to really deeply discount it as a result of condition. I don't believe that they do that enough. Case in point, who was it that we were talking? Was it you, Bart? We were talking about the property in Mattydale? Or was it Steve? Was it you? Who was it that we were talking about the property in Mattydale in Boston? Yeah. 204 Boston, I think it was, right? Yeah. Came out on the market for $48,000. Maybe some of you saw that video. And you can Google the video. 204 yeah, Boston Ave in Mattydale. And you can see the disgust. You can hear it in my voice as I'm walking through the house because they want $48,000 for this house. And it was a piece of junk. And I said it was worth $25,000. And I had a 45-minute long discussion with the appraiser on why he appraised it for that. And I didn't want him to get defensive, or I didn't want to see egos get all freaked out at each other. I didn't want to do that. But I wanted to have a very, you know, candid conversation to find out why we can't get these property prices down. It was worth $25,000. It sold for $25,000. And I don't want to be right. I just want these properties to be priced better. But there is actually an advantage of these properties being priced too high for the investor. Why do you think that is?
Time.
Time. Time in what way, Todd?
The initial people that look at it are all excited about it. You get the, you know, homeowners that want to buy it.
Yes.
And the investors can come in later.
That's right. Todd hit it right on the head. The reason why it's good that the appraisers, you always make lemonade out of lemons, especially in this case. The appraiser appraises it too high. That initial release to the public where the owner-occupants or the people who are going to live in it get first crack at it are going to ignore it because it's too much. Too much work, too much money, or both. So then it goes through 1, 2, 3 price reductions, and then it's kind of lost its steam, and you're watching for it, and I'm watching for it. That's part of the system I was telling you about. That's apart from HUD's system. That's my system. Where you all of a sudden go and look at it, you tell me you like it. Like, for instance, Steve, if you had looked at Boston Ave and you called me and said, John, I agree with you. I want it for $25,000. I would mark you on the back of my sheet, and then you and I would be talking every time that property made a burp. And then there's a good chance you would have been the one getting it for $25,000. Because we would have waited it out, and as it was, it went down in price, down in price, down in price, down in price, and then it finally sold for $25,000. And you could be the guy. How do you be the guy? Go ahead.
Just as a point of interest.
Sure.
When it got bought for $25,000, they hadn't listed it down that low yet.
No, they didn't.
What was it listed at?
I can't remember what it was listed exactly, but I think it was $30,000.
So even there, you can see that you can buy it for less than.
Yes, you can buy it. And the 10% rule in HUD, let me just bring this into it. You're probably wondering, how much less can I buy a property on HUD? It's typically 10%. But as you can see, and I'm going to show you in just a second, they sometimes go 20%. I've seen them go 40% one time. But it's not something you can plan on. When you're talking 20 to 40% price reductions, or 20, 40%, sorry, price acceptance of what below what they're asking, those are freak occurrences. But I'll show you how to, with my system, set yourself in play so you can take advantage of that. And that's where you want to be. Let me just show you. This is the latest. Nobody knows about this one. 5894 Belcher Road in Lee Center in Oneida County. This raised ranch, it was more than 1,400 square feet because they never count the bottom square footage. So let's just say it was a 2,000 square foot raised ranch, 2-bedroom, 1-bath, but it had more bedrooms than that because of the downstairs. So it was on the market, $121,500 in April, and it sold sometime in September. So how many months is that? Okay? It's 5 months. $121,500 it was on the market for. It sold for, Bart, what does that say?
$68,000.
Not bad. Not bad. Write the number 58%. 58% is the number that we want to get emblazoned in your brain. This is one of the HUD secrets that I've come up with, and that's 58%. I don't know if 58% is that of 121.5, but if this came out of 121.5 and Bart, you called me and said, hey John, I'm going to use your 58% rule. I want to put an offer in for 121.5 times 58%. What percentage would Bart be able to get properties if he did 10 of them? How many would he be able to buy? How many people do you think he'd be able to buy at the 58% rule? Maybe one. Maybe two. Maybe zero. But you get what I'm saying. If you did nothing more, listen to this now, if you did nothing more than to go and look at properties and ask me what the original asking price is, let's say it's been on the market for a while, and you do the 58% rule, and you just put put offers in, bids in, you would do well. You would do well financially, and you would do well as far as getting a great price on a property. You would just do well. And owner-occupants out there listening to this, you can do that too, but I understand that your agenda may be a little more not as relaxed as the investors can be. HUD is one of the best. All right? And we happen to be the listing agents for HUD. 5 counties, almost all of Oneida, Cayuga, Madison, Onondaga, Oswego. So every single HUD home right now that comes through, except for parts of Oneida County, typically, I'm not even sure where the territory is exactly, but we do a lot of Rome, Utica, Floyd, Blossvale. All you got to do is just give us a call. Go to the website, take a look at some of our videos, get on our mailing list, our emailing list, and those of you out there listening to this, if you're not receiving our emails, this is behind-the-scenes information that I send out to 1,200 people that are getting this right now. Owner, occupants, and investors, contact our office, 695-6434, and get on that list. This is what the HUD website looks like, hudhomestore.com. You'll see listings here. You'll see the property case number. That's not important to you. There's the photo of it. But if you click on the property case number, it opens up the property to one page. Okay? There's the address, the price. Oh, that's Hubble. Look at that. It's Hubble. The status, when that arrow goes down, it means that the property price has gone down at least once. Okay? Extended means that investors can bid on it when the next opening date is. Okay? Yes, Gloria.
I want to know they have to be only occupant how long
it's
going to take before the investors to get in their house?
Yes. When a property is initially launched on the market from HUD, it's 10 to 12 days as owner-occupant. Then after that, investors can bid. 10 to 12 days. I go into more detail why 10 or 12, but that's for the other boot camp, okay? 10 to 12 days and then investors can bid.
Or buy the book.
What's that?
Or buy the book.
And those dates that they have on there, does that change every time the status of the property changes?
This bid opening date that you see here in the line listing here on the website, that changes every day. Changes to, if it doesn't sell on the 8th, then it changes to the 9th.
What about like a list date? Sometimes when you dig a little
earlier. Right, there is a list date, and that changes when the property price changes.
Oh, it's not on there.
That's right. I mean, when you expand it, when you open this up, there's going to be a list date. It's right here, folks. You folks that are listening are not going to be able to see this. The list date is right there. And right there, that says April 9th. Now, when it sold for 68, whatever the price was before it sold for 68, there would be probably something that said September here. It changes. You can't see the original list date. That's why I do what I do, so that I can have that information for you. So I pull the listing. So you can do the same thing I do. You pull the listing when it first comes out, okay, and then you hold on to it. And then you make your notes underneath it, like I do, when every time there's a change in the status or the price. So
every time the status changes, then the price.
Well, the status will only really change once when it is initially out there. It'll change from owner-occupant or exclusive to extended, which is everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the status doesn't change. So I don't want to give the impression that it changes every day. But the only time it'll change other than that is sold. Then it's gone. All right. But the price, every time the price changes, which is every 45 days, 10%. The list date changes. So you'll never know what the original list date was unless you call me. Okay. And I can tell you if you're interested in knowing it. Or even what the original price was. Unless you're pulling these like I am. So. Unique bidding system. Love it. The alert system, and I alluded to it just a few minutes ago, we let you know via... How we let you know in mass what's going on is we email you out what's happening with the, you know, particular properties. We even give you bid recommendations, which is proprietary. We don't put that out there to anybody else but this closed system of people getting our emails of these alerts. And we have also a link to a video, 5-6 minute video that shows the interior exterior of the house, plus a brutal synopsis by myself, let you know exactly what I think about the property, good or bad, with a big rubber thumb that goes up or down that says the thumbs up, thumbs down. You'll see it. If nothing more, you'll get a kick out of it. And then our experience. I mean, I've been doing the HUD since 1988. I've been doing the HUD since 1988. I haven't just been kind of playing with them on and off since 1988. I've been doing it every day since 1988. I love doing them. That's why. Which means you can have a greater chance to win. All these three things: the unique bidding system, our alert system through email, and then my, you know, of course, the one-on-one. And then my experience, our experience dealing with HUDs means that you get a greater chance to win. Now, let's look at some of the other systems that are out there that you don't have as great a chance to win. And that's HomePath. HomePath, and I'll give you the address. It's www.homepath.com. www.homepath.com. HomePath are... not the formerly FHA foreclosed loans like HUD. They are the Fannie Mae foreclosed conventional financed homes that are now government-owned homes. So just like we have HUD, we have Fannie Mae. Or excuse me, we have HomePath. HomePath, and I'll show you what the site looks like. HomePath.com, when you go to it, has this big... All the websites are going to this. HUD hasn't, and I'm glad they haven't. They got this big search address bar. Where would you like to... what would you like to look at? What I would suggest you do is put Onondaga County, New York, or Oswego County, NY, and then click the search button. That's the best way to do it. You can go to a map, and it's a... and then you got to scroll over it and try to click on the county that you want. They've changed their system. It used to be a little bit less sexy looking than this, but it was very, very easy to work within it. They've made it look like everybody else's, and they're all going to this format. And I'm not crazy about it. But if you do in there, you put a county in there and then New York, then you can look and see what's available. What I like about HomePath is that they got different inventory out there. Frankly, they've got different stuff. So whatever HUD doesn't have, maybe it's something on HomePath. What I don't like about HomePath is they're not very generous like HUD. Where HUD, you can do 10% under, 20 on a good day, 30 to 40 on an incredibly fantastic day, okay, at any given time. They, too, lower their prices. Thousands of dollars, you know, like maybe $5,000 or $10,000 or 10%, whatever they deem to lower it, they lower it about every month or so, which is good. And that's what I like about them. But as far as bidding on one, write this down, 1-5% under the asking price for HomePath. If a property comes out on the market for $100 and you want to buy it for $70, wait 2 months before you bid. So that it goes down from 100 to 90 to 80, and you're still a little bit far off bidding 70 at that point. You may even want to wait. You may want to put the bid in when it gets... What I'm saying is you pick your price point, and then we wait till it comes down to very close to it. Then you bid. Don't bother putting a bid. I haven't, until I hear the day that putting a low bid in months before it can reach there is a good idea, I'll let you know. But from right now, it's a waste of time. Also, too, to put a bid in for HomePath, 7-page contract, 13-page addendum, proof of funds, and a check for 10% of the offering price. All that's got to be signed, scanned, uploaded, then electronically we have to input the information. I know. It takes about 30 minutes to do the whole thing, if you were sitting there in front of us, to get the offer in. With HUD, John, it's Bob. Hey, Bob, I don't know, I want to put the offer in. Okay, let me see if I have everything in my database. Yeah, I got everything except your social security number. I'm going to need that. Okay, social is this. Go ahead and put it in for $50,000. Okay, Bob, bye. How many times have we done that, right? It takes me 3 minutes to put an offer in. Now, I'm not saying that this is causing undue hardship on us. We're not digging ditches here, okay? We're only putting in contracts. But I'm just saying, though, it's a hassle just to do this for everybody. Where it's HUD, it's just like that. Simple. It's not that we won't. I'm just saying, though, it's just kind of a hassle. There's no financing for HomePath. There used to be. There's no financing anymore, so you're kind of on your own. As an owner-occupant, you're going to have to, you know, call me about that. As an investor, just go get your money from somewhere else. Okay, not. Don't get a mortgage on the house. It's never really a good idea. What else do I like about HomePath? They're not too bad to show. They're easier to show. They're all vacant, of course. So showing it is not too bad. What else do I like about it? It's just got a lot of inventory. A lot to come. I don't know how much inventory out there is for HomePath, but I know that when HUD was struggling to release their inventory, HomePath had, oh, golly. We're in Onondaga County where we had like one house for sale. They had like 20 houses, 25 houses for sale, you know. So check out HomePath. See what's there. HomePath advantages. What do I got here? Larger inventory, less competition because of the learning curve. That's another thing, too. Realtors are begrudgingly do these. They do. Because there's a learning curve involved and they're not used to it. The majority of properties they do are just, you know, regular MLS listings and sales. So whenever you got a learning curve, and I'll tell you something, realtors are older, getting older, and they're getting older by the minute, and they're not being replaced by younger people. The average realtor in the United States is 57 years old. And what did they say? They said within the next 18 years, 85% of them are going to be retired or dead. I just learned that. I went to ethics class, this mandatory ethics class they give us every 4 years, and they gave that stat, and I went, okay. So what do they say? Old dogs can't learn
new tricks.
Right, and that's what the problem with the learning curve is with the older realtors. They're more resistant to not want to, and they you can hear them whining on the phone when I talk to them. John, I haven't done a HUD like in years. And we try so hard to help them. We do everything we can for the realtors. We treat them like gold. They deserve it. They're hard to finance. That's the one thing. Cash buyers whittle down the competition more. So since they're harder to purchase, that whittles down the competition. So there's a plus to it, even though it may seem like a minus at first. Let's talk about my second favorite place in the whole wide world. And I don't even talk a lot about it. And that's Hubzu. Hubzu.com. And that's spelled H-U-B as in boy, Z as in zebra, U as in umbrella.com. How many here have heard of Hubzu? How many of you here have been on the Hubzu website? Okay, so three of you? All right. I want you to go there, and I want you to get to know Hubzu. Also on my website, adolfi.com, if you put into the search bar events or Hubzu, you should be able to pull up my lecture on Hubzu. But I'm going to give you a mini lecture on Hubzu because I really believe in them. Hubzu is an auction site. There are three auction sites out there that I'm aware of that are doing it. Auction.com. People don't like auction.com. Home Search, they're kind of new. They're kind of new to me, but some people are using HomeSearch.com. And then Hubzu. Hubzu by far is the best. And here's the reason why. Number one, their inventory is not listings from other people, not listings from, you know, homeowner, like a for sale by owner. They're not real estate agents putting listings on there and trying to auction them off. They are all bank-owned properties. Auction.com has bank-owned properties, but they also have a mixture of other things, and you cannot get into any of those properties, for the most part, on Auction.com to take a look at it. With Hubzu, you can. Easy to get you inside of Hubzu. Okay. Notice here, there is a search bar, just like the other one. I like their search bar better. It was just when I've used it, I just like it better. So, again, Oswego County, comma, NY, Onondaga County, comma, NY. Search by county. Don't search by state. Search by county. When you do, you're going to see a bunch of properties, big. Everything's big nowadays. You know, they've blown up everything, so everything's large. I don't get that. Maybe I do, that it's supposed to be more pleasing, but it doesn't fit a lot of stuff on this page. Anyway, scroll down. You'll see a bunch of properties. You'll see the first ones that are for sale. Then you'll see ones that are sold at the bottom of the page. Those are the ones I want you to look at first. Why would you want to look at properties that are sold? Because they're sold and they're not closed. Here's a little secret that really hardly anybody knows. You can put a backup offer on any one of those properties that have sold. And they'll tell you what the backup offer is. For instance, you got to sign in, by the way. You got to create a user account. Okay? First thing you do is create a user account. Second, after you looked that over. Second thing is that you see the ones that have sold. You click on it and it'll say place a backup bid. And when you do, he'll say, the next incremental bid is $40,000. John, how do I get into XYZ Smith Street or whatever? Here, we're going to set up an appointment. We'll get you inside. So you go take a look at it and you go, wow. Somebody paid $39. Typically, it's $1,000 less what the next bid. Your bid will be $1,000 over the price. Somebody bid $39 and I could possibly get this for $40. Yep, I've sold 6 houses doing this. The deals fall apart. And I'll tell you the reason why. Number one, the people just don't have the money. They think they have the money, but they don't have the money. Whether that's because of financing, money falling through, because they were doing a home equity, whatever. They didn't have the money. Number two, they just didn't get the paperwork in together, right? You know, like in the first week or so. They just didn't get it together. 2 weeks maybe. It's you know, so it falls apart. Number three, the people on the other end, they're horrible. They're all over the place. They're very bad communicators, and they make you jump through hoops, and it's very difficult to follow what they're trying to do as far as the closing end of it. It's really not good. And you either then sit there and say, forget this, I don't want this. Or they just delay things, and things just fall apart. Next thing you know, they're further along than when you come along, because when you come along, you'll be the one standing there at 40. First people bought it for 39, fell apart. But the process is already in motion. Then all of a sudden they say, hey Bart, guess what? Would you like to buy it for 40? You bet. Now let's say Bart says no, and Todd had put an offer in for 41. You're second in line. You won't know if you are or not, by the way. Okay, thanks anyways. Todd, would you like it for 41? You bet. That's how it works. As far as the ones that haven't sold, it's a game. You're going to have to watch it. They have week-long bidding cycles, and you get to bid like an auction, and you may be the high bidder, and you won't get it. They put it back on for another price point. Then nobody bids on it. Then they lower it. Then they higher it. Then they lower it. You got to wait it out. The reason why I say to go look at the ones that are already sold, they've already gone through all those gymnastics. All that stuff is out of the way. All you got to do is just slip right on in there and place your bid. Now, you're going to be bidding by yourself. You're going to have to include a real estate agent, and that real estate agent, I'm hoping, is me. All you got to do when you go in there, when they ask you for the real estate agent, is put my email address in there, and I'm going to give it to you, and then it auto-populates all my information, and then it lets you continue on in the process. It's john@adolfi.com. My last name, Adolfi, adolfi.com. So you first go to Hubzoo and take a look. Second thing you do is you create a user account. Third thing you do is you look around and you go, ooh, I'd like to get in that one. You call me. Then after you call me and you go take a look at it and you want to bid on it, whether you do it at 10 o'clock at night, 3 in the morning, whatever, just have my email address ready and you can go ahead and put a bid in. Now, there is a 4.5% buyer's premium, which means they add 4.5% of the sale price onto the price of the property. So if it's $50,000, they're going to put $22,500 on there, plus a $299 technology fee, whatever that means. Okay. You pay your own abstract and survey, and they'll give you probably, I think, a bargain and sale deed. I think it is. All right.
So we have to pay that above and beyond our offer.
Yes, and it'll show it to you as you're going through the bidding process exactly what your bid is going to be. you're going to put a bid number in there, but then it'll show you what your actual out-of-pocket cost is going to be in order to satisfy the auction company. All right? Hubzu Advantage, hardly known by the public or the agents out there. That's the advantage. I mean, talking about the Wild Wild West, this is the Wild Wild West right here. Right here, Hubzu. If known, not used, because it's not in the MLS. They're not in the MLS. You got to go to it. You got to. This was the problem with HUDs before the MLS became electronic. People hated, and before we were told to put them in the MLS. Before they made it, the MLS was in existence. I'm talking about electronic MLS, but it wasn't computer. I can't remember. We had books, and then we had some sort of. I can't remember all the technology, but. HUDs weren't in there. They were in there for the longest time. So you had to actually go to the HUDs. There was no HUD website. You actually had to have the paper, the four or five papers that come out weekly. You had to get one hold of one of those. Or you didn't know about them. The only people that got those were the agents. And I used to get one every single week and go through them. Get on the phone and call people, have them do their drive-bys, and then get them inside. Since 1988, I've missed 2 weeks. Now, of course, everything's updated daily now, but... 2 weeks I missed out of since 1988. That's how serious I take it. And their unique bidding system. And I'll get more into that with you. And like I say, I want to refer you to the Hubzu event that we had here several months ago. It is in 2015. I believe it is. It's funny. They found it. And Hubzu called me. Because they got people that scour the internet looking to see... anybody's doing anything either naughty or good or whatever with Hubzu. And they found and they listened to my presentation. They called me and then they asked me they kept me on the phone for a half an hour asking me all sorts of questions, what I liked and didn't like about Hubzu. And I thought that was really kind of cool. And then they sent me a gift certificate. That was kind of cool. All right. Those are the three top places. I'm going to give you a couple of more as bonuses. Okay. Now, how many of you have ever heard of BrazTex Auction? Okay. How many has ever gone to a BrazTex auction for real estate? What was your experience? Go ahead, Bart.
This is rare because I've been to quite a few, and you do get into that auction frenzy where people outbid each other. A house that was appraised for $75,000 or $85,000, two people bid on it. It was easily worth $55,000, $60,000, sold for $28,000.
He's right.
A guy who was in real estate at the Oswego and retired and said, I'll never buy another house. But he pulled out his wallet. He bought it for $28,000.
He bought it for... Okay, so Bart was saying that the house was worth about $55,000 and some guy bought it for $28,000. Gloria?
I bought one for $15,000 and I sold it for $52,000.
Wait a minute, say that again. You bought it for how much?
$15,000.
You bought a house for $15,000 at an auction?
My first time.
How much money did you put into it?
Maybe
$10,000. So you bought it for $15,000, put $10,000 in, and you sold it for $52,000. Now, I don't know what's going on with BrazTex. I get the impression that maybe he's got a sign on his building for sale. But I would get on their mailing list, and I'll give you their phone number. It's 678-2000. Call the girls there. Find out if they're still in operation. They're still doing auctions for real estate. Okay. And get on their mailing list. Go to a few of their auctions. And then when you want, go go prepared. Go prepared at some point. Listen, there was a two-family house in Phoenix. They had it on the market for $65,000. They brought it down as low as $57,000 or $58,000. Couldn't sell it. From the outside, it looked horrible. Just didn't look good. I show up at the auction. Somebody from Phoenix who lives in San Diego. I was bidding for him over the phone. I showed up. There was a good 8-10 people there. Only a couple, 3 people bid. And I walked in and I went, oh, wow. You can't judge a book by its cover. The inside was pretty good. My guy got it for $28,000. Don't ever use an auction to sell something. 95% of the time, don't do it.
Because I did that and I just have to buy it back.
That's right. Did you do it? You tried to sell a house in auction? Yeah, and you had to buy it. Yeah, and you had to buy it back.
$4,000.
She lost $4,000.
It's
Because he couldn't get a high enough. Right. You know who goes to auctions? The cheapest people in the entire world go to them. I'm dead serious. Be one of them and go. Now, can I interface with you? Yes. I can actually sign you up. If you want to include me, you want me to do some armchair CMAs or whatever, you know, they'll pay me like 2% or 3%, some small amount. But, you know, you can involve me, you know what I'm saying, without it costing you anything more. Okay, I just want to let you know, because some people don't think that, well, it might cost me if I involve a realtor, or they never think about using a realtor, they just do it direct. You're welcome to do that, but if you would like some assistance, I'm happy to do that for you. Yes?
Do they always sell the house at the auction? Like, if you go to an auction, do they have to sell it?
Every single time the house gets sold, either to someone or the owner buys it back from BrazTex for 10%.
Oh, why would the owner buy it back?
Because they're not going to get enough money. Oh. Let's say you were the one that owned that house that was on the market for 57, the two family in Phoenix, and I'm like the winning bid at 28,000. You as the owner could go, no, I won't accept it. I'm gonna bid 29 myself, and then you give BrazTex $2,900 or 10%, plus the marketing fee of $1,200, $1,300 you already paid up front. So go to them, just don't use them. Listen, if you guys look, this is how I look at things. Steve just Rosenberg just bought a house several months ago in Fulton. He and his son are fixing it up right now, and he said, "I'm almost ready to put it on the market in the next few weeks." What was the first thing I said to you after you said you're going to
try to sell it myself?
Try to sell it yourself. Now, what kind of realtor would say to his client, "Sell it yourself"?
I was surprised at that.
Well, yeah. And here's my point. My point is that not every time is going to a real estate agent to sell your house the best move. There's going to be times where you may want to do an auction, that 5% time, okay? Or you may want to sell it to one of your family members. What I'm getting at is that when you counsel with me, so to speak, counsel with me, I'm not like beholden to one track because I make money doing that. What I get a kick out of more than anything else is getting the person on the correct track as opposed to just trying to sell them something. My service is to sell your house. I'll be glad to do it, and I'll be glad to step in and sell your property, but not right yet. For him right now, I want to see him for 2 weeks try to sell his property on a Craigslist and put a sign up front. And he doesn't know this yet, but he has access to me every step of the way, which means that he says, "John, I did the flyers, I did the sign, I did Craigslist. Is there anything else I need to do?" I'll think of something. And then if he sells it, he says, "John, I got a buyer. Now what do I do?" And I'll share with him step by step what he needs to do. Okay? It's easy. It's easy. It's fun. It's fun to do this. I enjoy it. And that makes Steve really, really happy, and it makes me happy that makes him happy. So I want to save you guys money when it's time to save money. My point is. Okay. Only 56 days away. What's only 56 days away?
Christmas. First of the year?
The end of the year.
End of the year.
The most awesome Christmas party in the world. No, did I explain the world? We have a Christmas party that's coming up, and everybody who's listening to this recording, whether you've purchased from us, whether we've listed your house, whether we've done no business with you at all, you need to come to this Christmas party and just say, "Hey, John, we've listened to your stuff. We look forward to doing business with you someday. But right now, we're hungry." It's going to be... We have fun contests. One of the contests we have is the most funniest photo contest. And this guy didn't win. But there's a guy right now who's practicing faces, getting ready for this contest. I'm serious. He was in my office the other day, and he wants to win. And that's going to be Tuesday, December 15th at 5 p.m. at Adolphi Real Estate, which is at 75 State Street in Phoenix, New York, not Arizona. Please don't go to Arizona. And please RSVP so my wife gets a feeling of how many people are coming. And our phone number is 695-6434. Again, 695-6434. This is a family-friendly event, which means that you can invite your children to come along. There's not going to be anything naughty going on or anything weird. No innuendos. None of that. No alcohol. family-friendly event, and it's fun. It's from 5 to 8 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday, December 15th, 2015. And that's the end of our presentation. We're going to sign off for now, and we're going to have a little bit of a Q&A here as we wrap up things. Thanks for listening.